Okay, I have a confession to make right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw the file name for today's deep dive, 001 Back Safety, my brain, it immediately went to that faded, glossy poster in the break room. You know the one?
The cartoon guy?
Yes. The cartoon guy lifting a box with a big green check mark. It says something like safety first. And honestly, my eyes just glaze over. It feels like compliance.
It feels like homework, and nobody likes homework.
Exactly. But then I actually opened the document. We're looking at a guide from shoptopics.info, and I realized my knee-jerk reaction was completely wrong. This isn't just about rules. This is actually a story about physics, economics, and the engineering of the human machine.
It really is. And I'm glad you framed it that way because it's so easy to dismiss back safety as just, common sense. We all think we know how to pick things up.
Right.
But when you look at the data and the sheer mechanics of what's happening to your spine when you work, it becomes a much more urgent conversation.
Wearing out our parts. That's a sobering way to put it.
Well, it's true.
So today we're digging into this Shop Topics guide. It's aimed at the factory floor, but the physics apply to pretty much anyone.
Which is all of us last time I checked.
Fair point. To kick things off, can we just talk about the stakes here? Because the numbers in this report, I mean, they honestly shocked me.
They are staggering. If we look at the data from OSHA that Shop Topics highlights, back injuries account for 1 in 5 workplace injuries.
1 in 5. That's a massive slice of the pie.
It is. And here's the crucial detail that kind of creates our roadmap for today.
Okay.
75% of those back injuries happen during lifting tasks.
Wow.
So the simple act of picking something up is actually the most dangerous thing many workers do all day.
75%. So our mission today is to move past that old slogan, lift with your knees.
Right, it's too simple.
We want to understand why these injuries happen, and this is where it gets really interesting. Look at the efficiency argument for safety.
It connects everything. Biology, physics, profit. You can't separate them.
So let's unpack the biology first. The source breaks down the mechanics, and it seems like there are two main ways things go wrong. You have the acute injury.
The snap.
Yeah, the snap.
Yeah.
And then there's something a little more insidious.
Right. The acute injury is that sudden failure. You lift something heavy, your form is off, and bang, something goes.
A torn muscle, a ruptured disc.
Immediate, dramatic. But the text also emphasizes the slow burn, cumulative trauma. And that's where people get into trouble because they don't feel it happening.
It's the boiling frog scenario.
Exactly. It's microtrauma. Every time you lift incorrectly, even if it doesn't hurt right then, you're putting stress on the spine. You're creating tiny fissures.
Until one day you bend over to pick up a pencil.
And your back goes out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the pencil, it was the 10,000 boxes you lifted wrong before that.
One of the specific warnings in the text that really stood out was about twisting while lifting. This seems to be a major villain.
Oh, is the silent killer of spines.
I see people do it constantly. Grab a box, twist the torso, put it on a belt. Why is that twist so much worse than a bend?
It's the physics of it. Your spine is a column. It's designed to handle compression weight straight up and down.
Like a pillar.
It's strong that way.
Very strong. But as soon as you add rotation, you're applying torque and shear forces to the discs. The outer rings of your discs, they're like layers of an onion. They are not designed for that shearing force.
I've heard it described like wringing out a wet towel.
That's a visceral, but yeah, a very accurate analogy. When you twist under load, you're essentially grinding the vertebrae while squeezing the cushion between them.
And the fibers just tear.
They tear. The structural integrity is compromised the moment you twist.
And the guide solution sounds almost too simple. Pivot the feet.
Pivot, don't twist.
Sounds like a dance move.
It kind of is. It's about moving the whole machine, your body, as one unit. It keeps the load aligned. Your nose and your toes should point in the same direction.
And it takes, what, a microsecond longer?
Maybe, but it saves your discs. Okay, then we have the classic hit. Improper lifting techniques, bending at the waist. Why is that so bad? Is it just that my back muscles aren't strong enough?
It's a leverage problem, simple physics. When you bend at the waist, your upper body becomes a long lever arm. The fulcrum is your lower back.
Okay, picturing a seesaw.
Exactly. And because of that lever, the force on the fulcrum is multiplied. There's a rule of thumb, the 10-to-1 ratio. So if you bend over and pick up a 10-pound object,
That's not 10 pounds on your back.
It's closer to 100 pounds of pressure on your lower back.
Whoa, so 50-pound boxes.
Putting hundreds of pounds of pressure on those small discs. And that's why use your legs isn't just a slogan. When you squat, you eliminate the lever arm.
You shift the load to the glutes and quads.
To the massive muscles designed for that work.
But the guide also mentioned some hidden culprits.
Yeah.
Not just the heavy box, but repetitive movements.
Yes. The text notes that continuous lifting without breaks leads to fatigue. This is crucial. You might have perfect form at 8 a.m.
But what about at 2 p.m. after you've lifted 300 boxes?
Exactly. Your muscles get tired. And when the primary muscles, the legs, the core get tired, the body cheats. Your form gets sloppy.
You stop bending your knees because your legs are burning.
You start rounding your back. That's when the injury happens. It's not that the box was too heavy. It's that your body lost the ability to protect itself.
It's like in the gym, the last rep is the dangerous one.
Precisely. And in a warehouse, you're doing thousands of reps.
And then awkward loads. The source mentions poor grip or oversized objects.
If you can't get a good grip, your body has to compensate. You might lean back or twist or jerk the weight up. An awkward load forces your body into awkward postures.
And that misalignment is where the danger is.
Perfect storm. You're tired. The box is awkward. You twist a little bit. And that's the recipe for disaster.
So we've talked theory. Let's ground this in reality. The source gives two specific case studies that illustrate the difference between that acute injury and the chronic issue.
Yeah, let's look at them. These are the cautionary tales.
First, the 2020 warehouse worker injury.
Huh.
A worker suffered a herniated disc. The cause? Repeatedly lifting heavy boxes without proper technique.
This is the acute failure. A herniated disc is no joke. That's the jelly inside the donut pushing out and pressing directly on your spinal nerves.
Which is incredibly painful.
Debilitating. It can cause sciatica, numbness. This is often a career-altering injury. Surgery, months of rehab.
And the date 2020, this isn't ancient history. It highlights that knowledge gap, or maybe a pressure to move too fast.
Which brings us to the second case, which I found even more interesting. The 2018 manufacturing plant incident.
Right.
An employee developed chronic back pain. But the cause wasn't bad lifting. It was poor ergonomic workstation design.
That's a critical distinction. In the first case, you could argue it was worker behavior. But here, this is the environment itself attacking the worker.
Exactly. If a workstation forces you to hunch over a table that's too low or reach too far for a tool, hundreds of times a day.
It's like being in a stress position.
It is. It's microtrauma. You don't feel a snap, but over months, the tissues inflame and you end up with chronic pain that never goes away.
And this bridges the conversation perfectly.
Yeah.
We're moving from, did you lift correctly, to did the employer design the job correctly?
It does. And that leads us right into the economics of the situation. Because fixing these things costs money.
Right. And the source plays devil's advocate. In the con section, it lists, requires investment in ergonomic equipment.
Safety isn't free. Buying hydraulic lifts, adjustable tables, that's a capital expenditure. For a business on thin margins, that's a real friction point.
It also mentions workflow adjustments. Basically, doing things safely might take longer.
Yes, may require workflow adjustments. And let's be real, if you have to stop to hook a box onto a hoist, that takes 10 seconds. Throwing it by hand takes 2.
And in a high-volume environment, those seconds add up. Plus, there's training time, pulling people off the line.
So a short-sighted manager looks at this list of cons money, time, slower workflow, and might think, let's just hope for the best.
But then you have to look at the pros. And this is where the argument just flips.
The first one is obvious. Preventing injuries. The human cost. But then it gets into the business case. Reduces workers' compensation claims and medical costs.
And those claims can be astronomical. One surgery could cost more than outfitting a whole line with lift assists.
Precisely. And that's just the direct cost. What about indirect costs? Replacing a skilled worker, the drop in morale, potential OSHA fines.
But the one that stood out to me, the aha moment, was this line. Improves workplace efficiency and productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. We just said safety slows things down. How does it improve efficiency?
It seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? But think long term. An injured worker stops the line.
True.
But even beyond that, a worker who isn't fatigued, who isn't straining, can work at a steady pace for longer. Your productivity doesn't tank in the afternoon.
A healthy worker is a consistent worker.
Exactly. Safety is efficiency. It's just measured in months and years, not seconds.
That's a powerful reframing. It's not safety versus speed. It's sustainable speed.
Correct. So if we're sold on the idea, what tools do we have? The source gives us a toolkit.
The hardware. Number one on the list, mechanical aids, lifts, hoists, conveyors.
This is the gold standard. The best way to prevent a back injury is to not lift the thing at all. Let the machine do the work.
Then we have material handling tools. Dollies, carts, forklifts.
Again, simple physics. Pushing is infinitely easier than carrying. It sounds basic, but how often do you see someone carry something because they couldn't be bothered to go find the dolly?
All the time. I'll just grab it real quick mentality.
Well, and that's where the injury happens.
Now, looking at the environment, ergonomic workstations. I want to ask about the anti-fatigue mats. Do they actually do anything?
Oh, they definitely do. Standing on concrete all day is brutal. It sends shockwaves up your skeleton.
Okay.
The mat provides a bit of instability, just a tiny bit of squish. It forces your leg muscles to make constant micro movements to keep you balanced.
And that's good.
It's great. Those movements act like a pump, keeping blood flowing in the legs. It reduces that static strain that causes fatigue.
Fascinating. So it keeps the engine idling instead of stalling out.
That's a great way to put it.
And finally, in the toolkit, we have wearables, back braces, lifting belts. Are these a magic bullet?
No, and there's some debate about them. They aren't Superman capes. You can still get hurt wearing a belt.
Right.
But they are useful as a cue. When you cinch that belt tight, you feel it. It's a physical reminder to engage your core before you lift.
So it's almost psychological. It says, hey, pay attention. We are lifting now.
Exactly. But it shouldn't be used as an excuse to lift more than you can handle.
Okay, so we have the gear. But you can have all the gear in the world, and if the culture is bad, people still get hurt. The source talks about building a culture of prevention.
This is the software that runs the hardware. You have to teach people how to use the tools and why it matters.
It also suggests something I really liked, stretching and warm-up exercises.
Yes. Treat the industrial worker like an industrial athlete. You wouldn't run a sprint without warming up. Why would you walk onto a cold loading dock and try to lift a 50-pound crate without waking up your back muscles?
It makes so much sense. It shifts the mindset from manual labor to performance.
That's exactly what it is.
So to recap the best practices from the source, number one, keep the load close to the body.
Minimize that lever arm, hug the load, reduce the distance, reduce the strain.
Two, take regular breaks.
To prevent fatigue. As we said, fatigue kills form.
And three, pivot, don't twist.
Save your discs, move your feet. It's the golden rule.
It seems so simple when you lay it out like this.
It is simple, but it requires discipline and a workplace that supports it.
As we wrap up, there's a line in the source's conclusion I want to hit on. A strong back is an asset, and it says safety is just another form of precision.
I love that framing. We think of precision as machining a part to a micron, but precision is also moving the human body exactly the way it was designed to move.
When you lift correctly, you're being precise. When you lift poorly, you're being sloppy.
And in manufacturing, sloppiness leads to failure.
It takes the conversation out of compliance, doing it because OSHA says so, and into the realm of excellence.
Absolutely. A safe shop is almost always a well-run shop.
Which leads us with a final thought for you, the listener. In any factory, there's a scheduled maintenance plan for the machines. You change the oil, replace the belts. If a machine goes down, it's a crisis.
Right. You have teams dedicated to keeping those robots running.
So if a business prioritizes the maintenance of its metal machinery with such intensity to ensure productivity, why wouldn't it prioritize the maintenance of the human machinery, the back, with that same level of care?
That is the million-dollar question. The human machine is the most expensive and hardest to replace tool on the floor. It deserves at least the same investment.
Something to think about the next time you reach for that box. Check your posture, pivot those feet, and work smarter.
Absolutely. Stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you on the next one.